Why don't we give a hand to the Lord tonight? God is the one that puts it all together. God orchestrates it. He calls us. He chooses us. He makes a way for us. It is God that has done it. Amen. I had to ask who Pastor Schumacher was. I've heard of him. Just never met him before tonight. What a tremendous family that a man would trust someone else to come and stand in his pulpit in honor of this sacred desk and allow him to minister to your church. You know what that means? It means he's got confidence in you. So if I was half crazy and said something off the wall, he believes in you enough to know that you're not going to buy into it. Amen? So your pastor trusts you. Why don't we give him a hand? You can be seated real quick. I will read scripture here in just a moment, but I do want to take just a second. And I am a Texan. Can everybody understand me? I talk real slow and takes me a little while to get there sometimes, but we get there. Amen. And a little bit of background about me. I am from Texas, born and raised. Received the Holy Ghost there when I was very young. I was baptized in Jesus' name. Never really got a hold of the concept of living for God. I ran from a bunch of stuff and found God in Milwaukee. Got into Elam Tabernacle, Brother Rogers, at that time Brother Manuel Rogers. And he grounded me and taught me how to live for God. He taught me what it was to be a Christian. We stayed there for a number of years, 4 or 5 years, met my wife there. She is a Wisconsinite, Stevens Point, Plover area, and my daughter was born here in Wisconsin. I'm not saying it right. Y'all don't get offended. My wife gets mad at the way I say it. My daughter was born in Wisconsin. We moved when she was 8 months old, and so we have been blessed to sit under the ministry of Bishop Doug White for the last 23 years, 15 or so years on his ministry team before God called us to plant a daughter work church in a very rural community, maybe even more rural than this. 582 people in our city. You can probably fit that in here, our whole city. But God was so good to us. We were able to build a church there, able to establish a great church that had just solid people there when, much to our chagrin, I guess, God began to speak different things, different direction to our ministry, and so here we are. My children are grown. I've got a 23-year-old daughter, a 20-year-old son, a very pretty single daughter. I'm not trying to auction her off. I'm just saying she's a very pretty, anointed, single young lady. For the girls, my son is 20, but I'm sure y'all wouldn't be interested. He's as redneck as they come. Four-wheel drive trucks, gun, hunting hogs, hunting alligators, fishing. Every time he gets it, he's just redneck. But he's a good kid, and he loves God. So but we're very pleased to be here. God has done some things in our lives. God's called us to evangelize, spoke to us, told us we would be a season on an evangelistic field. Did not speak to me how long. He just told me to go, and so we went. My wife is home. She's waiting. I don't want to take too much time because I do feel like I have a word from God. Just real quickly, let me say that I give honor to my wife tonight. I told her what God was dealing with me. She was feeling the same thing. I assumed that, Pastor, that I would evangelize, go for a couple weeks, come home, go and come. And my wife said, no, sir. She said, you're my husband. I'm your wife. We're supposed to be together. I said, yes, ma'am. And so as soon as we sell the house, we've got a few things to do to it. We're going to sell the house, and she's going to resign from her job, and we're going to travel together. Amen. Anybody believe that husbands, wives, families ought to be together? I do. I want to give honor to my wife and to my children. My wife had to leave Monday. She's a school teacher. She had to get back. She's going to work till the house sells. And so she had to get back. But I give her honor. She's so faithful to the things of God. Want to honor my pastor, Bishop White, in his absence here tonight for all that he's done for me and helped me. And, of course, the church in Silsbee Abundant Life has invested so much in me. I'm so grateful. Could not do anything for God without my church. Amen. Or without the church that God brought me to and helped raise me up. Again, I honor Pastor Sister Schumacher. I honor you for your attendance. This is probably the most beautiful battlefield that I've ever seen in my life. This is amazing. But as I stood on that front row and was praying with my eyes closed, I seen a battlefield. And I know there's a battlefield out there, but there's been some mighty wars, some mighty battles that have been won in this place. There have been some wars that have been waged in this sanctuary, and God has given you some grand victories. But does anybody know that he's not done yet? He's not done yet. In fact, he's just scratched the surface. I concur with your pastor. It's going to be normal for God for healings and for people to get out of wheelchairs. It's going to be normal for people to come in and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost during song service. It's going to be normal for families to come in and God to restore. Amen. Well, I'm just a country boy, and forgive me if my decorum is not what it's supposed to be. Very, very pleased to be here. If you want to stand, I'm sure the custom is here. You want to turn to the Bible, in your Bible, to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. I'll do my best to minister the word of the Lord that he has given me for tonight. One of the toughest things is finding the mind of God and having the right message. I could come up here and preach a masterpiece, but if it's the wrong message, it won't matter a bit. I can come up here and stumble over my words, but if I've tapped into God, then we can have a mighty breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think that I have, and we're going to give it a shot. Amen. Luke chapter number 24, I'm going to read very fast because I want to read a whole big portion of Scripture. So let me just jump right in. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs." It's in reality about 7 miles. They took off on a 7-mile hike. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these?" And this is so amazing. Some preacher could probably preach about this. He said, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And you're sad. What's going on here that you're sad? You'll understand here in a minute. "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Where have you been, man?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." They're speaking in past tense. "And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive." And they're talking in past tense in a sad tone of voice. "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even also as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he brake it, and he gave to them. and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. If you would ask the Lord to bless us tonight. Jesus, I ask, Father, for your hand to be upon us, God. I pray, Father, for your word to be delivered and to be received, God, in the manner in which you intend for it to do so. God, I pray, let your word go forward tonight and do and have its intended purpose. God, open every heart, Lord. God, remove every preconceived ideal, God. Remove every ideal that we've thought of how and what you might do tonight, God. Give us a clean slate, Lord, that you can be God tonight, God. God, give us a clean slate that you can walk in this place. And God, whatever you choose to do and whatever you choose to say, God, you find an open, receiving, willing vessel to receive your word tonight. Lord, I pray your anointing on this place and on this preacher tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. If you'll give the Lord a hand, you can be seated. Feel the presence of the Lord so strong in this place. Let me jump right in. I'm not much of a preacher. I just know how to dig in and run with it. I just dig in and run with what God's given me, and I let God be God. Amen. These were to set the stage for you. Jesus has been captured. Can y'all hear me if I step away? Is that okay? Jesus has been crucified. He's been placed in a tomb. In a cave, if you will, and they went to look at him, and they found that the sepulcher was empty, and they found the angels, and he told them what it was, and so they run back, and Scripture tells us Peter runs to the sepulcher, and he looks, and he finds that it's not there, and so these disciples, these apostles, these men and women of God who have followed Jesus and who have believed him to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel, they're confused now. They don't know what to do. They don't know where they're going to go. They don't know exactly how to process everything. Jesus spoke to them and said that they will tear down the temple in 3 days. I'll build it. He told them over and over and over again. He pointed them to Scripture and prophets that told him that he was going to be crucified and 3 days later he was going to rise. But yet when it happens, these men who walked with God and who talked with God, they were confused. They couldn't process it all in their humanity, if you will. So these people had questions. Anybody ever had questions in living for God? Sometimes you can't put all the pieces together sometimes. And so that's where they are. They had questions. And so they went together and they gathered themselves together in a house to talk about it. But Scripture said there were two men who decided that they were going to take a journey to Emmaus. So with that in mind, I'll minister to this great congregation tonight, to this great church, from this thought, a journey to Emmaus. These men had questions and they reasoned one with another. What do we do now? What's next in our walk with God? What's next in our lives? What's next for Israel? While some waited, these men took off and they headed to a place called Emmaus. I'm not going to say anything that your pastor already hasn't said today, but I believe God's going to have his way. Amen. Scripture said that their eyes were blinded as they went on their way, but their hearts burned within them. While their eyes can't always tell the whole story, there was something in them that still burned. If I walk off, I have to have this, don't I? Is it on? Praise the Lord. Pastor, I hope it's okay to get out from behind the pulpit here. But so as these men walked, these two men, they walked and they talked, and all of a sudden a stranger shows up, and this stranger begins to walk with them, and this stranger begins to talk with them, And he asks them, he says, what's going on, guys? What's the conversation? Y'all are so sad. And they're amazed that he hasn't heard what's going on yet. They're amazed that he hasn't, he evidently has not heard of the things that are going on. And so he begins to question them. These people are followers of God. They're people of faith. They're people that believe, but now they're confused. Now that Jesus is dead, what's the next step? Their eyes are blinded. They didn't know what was next in their world. They didn't understand what was going to go on in the world, but something was in these men that burned within them, and it drove them to do something that there was, even though they didn't understand what to do, there was still something that burned in them that said, this is not the end of the story. There's no way this can be it. There's no way. They didn't understand everything completely at this point, but they knew that there is no way that it ends like this. We've seen Jesus do too many miracles. We've seen Jesus operate too much. We heard too much teaching. We've seen too much anointing to think that it really ends like this. So something burned in them, and so they took off to Emmaus, on their journey to Emmaus. And I wonder why these things. And so I got looking and just did a precursory search of why they would go to Emmaus. Emmaus, it comes from a Greek word, Emmaus, comes from a combination of Hebrew words, from you meaning a warm spring, and from a secondary word, yao, meaning to be hot. A day or a space of time, or daily, if you would, or in actuality, perpetually, or perpetual. So what they really did was they took off for a place that they knew that was hot. They took off for a place that they knew that there was something that flowed. What these men did was, when they were blinded, they when they didn't know what to do next, somehow they still knew where to go. Amen. When they couldn't make sense of everything, something told them that they had to know where to go. When their eyes were blind, they followed that burning in their heart. When their eyes couldn't make sense of it, they still followed that burning, that passion that still resided in their heart. They knew to go to a place that was hot. They knew to go to a place where there was a spring that flowed. They knew to go to a place that was prepared. Something that was solid, something that was real, something that was familiar, that no matter what was going on right now in Jerusalem, they went to a place where they knew that there was going to be those solid things there. When it didn't make sense to them, when they didn't know where to go or how things were going to turn out, they knew that if I can just get back to that place that's hot, that place that flows, that place that's perpetual, maybe we can find some answers there. Maybe we can begin to make sense of the things that are going on around us. When things no longer fit their expectations, when they had more questions than they had answers, when they had no real direction in their life, even though God had spoke to them, when their purpose for living was up in the air, they had given everything. Now it would appear that Jesus is gone. Their purpose seems to be up in the air. They made their way on a journey to Emmaus, when it seemed as though things were spiraling out of control all around them. Something told them that they've got to make their way to Emmaus, that in Emmaus they might find answers, that in Emmaus some things may begin to make sense. They had an experience one point in their life in Emmaus, and when nothing else made sense to them, is anybody honest enough to say you've been there? I'm honest to tell you, there have been times transitioning from pastoring to evangelism that I don't always understand everything, but I know God in heaven. Hang on to me. We're going to get to a particular place here in just a moment. There was something there that they knew that they could get there. When it seemed as though things were all out of control, they had to make their way to Emmaus. When they had no real vision for their future, they set out on a journey to Emmaus. What is the
the reason for this, hang on to me and we'll get there in a moment. When they couldn't see with their eyes, they followed that fire that was burning in their heart. And that fire led them to a place called Emmaus. Perhaps these men, perhaps there was something in them that remembered the words of Jesus in John chapter number 4, when he said that his spirit would be like living water springing up unto eternal life. And they knew in Emmaus there was a spring that was flowing perpetually, and they thought, maybe we can find Jesus there. So they just headed toward the flow. Perhaps these men remembered the words of John the Baptist when he said in Luke, he said that I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe, but it is he that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Maybe there was some recognition in their mind that said, if we can get to a place that we know is red hot, if we can get to a place that we know flows, if we can get to the place where there's a fire in their flow, maybe we can begin to understand all the things that are going on in our world. It was when they were on the road to Emmaus that they had an encounter with their Savior. It was when they set their mind and they set their heart and they set their spirit and they set their direction on a place of something they were familiar with. They knew there was a flow there. They knew there was fire there. They knew that they had an encounter with God there before, and if they could just get there. And on this journey, they encountered their Savior. Ain't it good to know that God can just show up in your circumstance and in your situation? You may not recognize him as being there. You may not feel his presence, but God can show up in an instant, and when he does, everything's got to change. It was there on the road to Emmaus that they received the words of Christ. It was in Emmaus that their eyes were opened and their questions received answers. They made their way to the place where the waters spring forth perpetually unto life. They made their way to the place where that fire was sure to be. It was in that place, a perpetual hot springs, that their eyes were opened and they began to understand the things that were going on around them. When they got to that place where the Holy Ghost... Let me just back up. When they got to that place where they knew there was hot, they knew there was heat, they knew there was a flow there, Jesus showed up and he revealed himself and began to answer all of their questions. All of a sudden they realized it was Jesus that was with us the whole time. They got a sad countenance. They got questions. They're upset. They don't understand. And Jesus shows up and says, "What are you guys doing? Why are you so sad? This is everything I told you that was going to happen. I told you they'd crucify me. I told you I'd rise again. And when I rose again, that I was going to bring the Messiah. Why are you sad now?" And they said, "Well, Lord, stranger, don't you know what's going on?" Someday somebody ought to preach that, but I can't do it right now. So when they were on the way to Emmaus, they found the answer. I seen your sign over here, and it's talking about a journey, taking a journey. We're going to take a journey tonight. It was in that place where they finally began to understand what was going on, that Jesus was not taken in the middle of the night, but he had risen from the dead. And now he had come back to equip them and to instruct them. And so immediately they made their way to the other disciples. They were in the house where the other disciples were, the other apostles, and they were telling them about this incredible encounter they had at Emmaus. And as they're talking and telling them, "We were walking and he showed up and he began to speak to us about scripture and he began to reveal himself and we understood who he was." They're telling him, "He's not dead. He's alive. He's risen. He's come up out of the grave and Jesus has come back for his people." But they're telling him about this two men. All of a sudden, Jesus walks walks through the door, walks through the wall, all of a sudden he appears unto them and he begins to speak unto all of these men, and he begins to give them instruction on what they are to do. He begins to speak into their life. He begins to talk to them about what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to be looking for. If you can look at the end of verse number 24, verses 47 through 49, Jesus shows up and he speaks to them and he says, it's really me. And he gives them instruction on what they're supposed to do now, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He comes and he shows who he is, and he gives them instructions in what they're supposed to do. We know the story. They went, they tarried in Jerusalem until they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that well of living water began to spring up from within them unto eternal life. These two men, they went on a journey. They went on a journey and they found the answer, and they brought the answer. The men received the answer and they delivered the answer, and God moved on them and God filled them with the Holy Ghost, and he poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And all of those that were in that upper room began to pray and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, as they were baptized with that power from on high. And it all started on a journey to Emmaus. When I don't have direction, I've got to know the destination. When I'm confused about where I am, when I'm confused about what's going on, there's got to be something in me that knows where to go. This is a great lesson to be learned from these men that went on this road. There are always going to be times in our lives when we have more questions than we have answers. It happens to preachers. It happens to pastors. It happens to saints of God, elders in the church, just like it does new converts. There are times when it would appear that God has blinded our eyes to everything around us, and he's looking to see, is there something that still burns on the inside of us that still moves us to a place where we trust him enough to follow him, even in those times when we have more questions than answers, when it seems as though everything that we have hoped for has died and left us abandoned, when it seems as though we've lost our vision and it seems like we've lost our purpose for living for God. The thing is, we need to learn from these men and make our way to the place that we know where that spring of living water still flows. We got to know to make our way to the place where the Holy Ghost and fire is still burning red hot in someone's life, where water flows and where fire falls, and where it does so on a perpetual basis. We've got to know that we can get back to the church when you don't know what to do or where to go and you're confused about your life. And if it has not happened, it will. And you've got to understand, if we can make a journey to Emmaus and find God, we will get the answers that we're looking for, everything that we want, everything that we need, if we can get to that place that we know the fire of God falls. If we can get to the house of God where we know that there is a river of living water that's flowing through this place. I felt it when I came in here from the back to the front. It's flowing. We're in a battlefield. There are victories that have been won in this place that have been fought on the most guttural level. And God has given the victory. This is where you go when you're confused and you're trying to find real direction for your world. Don't stay home where it's cold. Don't stay home where other people are giving you company. When you got to do it, you got to get to the house of God. There's answers in the house of God. There's answers for your world here today. There's answers for what you're looking for that are in this house today. that thing that's been perplexing your mind for all of these years. That thing that's been perplexing your mind for these last few months and weeks. Your answer's not staying home. I'm preaching to the choir because you're the ones here. But hear me, when it's your day, the answer's not staying where it's cold. The answer is you've got to get to the house of God because this is where the fire falls. I know the fire falls in your home. We pray in our homes. We fast. We touch God. We worship. We pray there in our homes. But we know that it's here in the house of God. When you've got questions, when you've lost your vision, it's time to take a journey to Emmaus. Time to get to a place where the water can flow in your life again. My God, I can't tap into you, but I know you're here. I know you're here and you're confused and hurt, but if you can ever get a hold of this concept that if you can make it to the house of God, you can find your answers there. You're in the right place. This is where you need to be. The answers that you're looking for are here. This is a place where the water can begin to flow in your life again. This is a place where the fire can fall on you, and it can burn all the questions and it can burn all the junk off of your life. Those enemies that have tried to attach themselves, you can get in the middle of a Holy Ghost fire and you can find what the water can flow. Watch this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. They said, oh, king, we don't know what God it will do, but we know what God can do. The king said, that's fine. Y'all can hold on to that stance if you want to. But he said, turn the furnace up and throw these boys in the fire. Watch what happens. They wasn't scared of the fire. The fire didn't intimidate them any. So they throw them in. You know the story. The king looks and he said, wait a minute. Did not we cast in three into the fire? Yes, king, three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, well, then why do I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God? Now, think about it for a minute. Pastor, if I'm wrong, you can straighten it out later. This is book of Daniel, prophet, Old Testament. I would be correct in saying that there was no Son of God manifest on this earth at that time, right? So how did the king recognize that spirit as the Son of God? Why did he refer to him as the Son of God? Because I'm telling you, sometimes when you get in a fire, the power of God shows up. They don't have to know what it is. You don't have to recognize what it is. It can be a stranger, but when God shows up, you just know God is on the scene. Nobody got to tell you when God shows up. Nobody had to give the king a Bible study. Nobody had to tell him who it was. He recognized when he got in there. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got in a fire, God showed up and he was there with them. When you can't see, listen for the flow. When you can't see, get around. Listen for people that are worshiping. Listen for people that are praying. Because where people are seeking God, there's going to begin to be a flow. Go where the fire is going to fall. Feel for the warmth of the fire because you know that it's going to fall there when you're confused. Get in the flow of the Spirit. Get in the fire of the Holy Ghost. When it doesn't make sense anymore, you've got to get to Emmaus. When it seems that all is lost in your world. When it seems like everything is wasted in your world. If you can just take a journey to Emmaus. You're going to find what you need in God. It's time to take a journey. It's time to find the flow again. It's time to find the fire again. My God, it's not time to sit back and hope that God shows up. It's not time to sit back and hope that God answers. But it's time to dig in and get in the flow of God again. It's time to dig in and get in the fire again. Get the fire falling in your church because God's not done anymore. God's still got more to do. There's more to reach. There's more victories to win. There's more souls that need saving. And we got to have the flow. And we got to have the fire in our churches again. Watch this. When you don't know what to do next, you just have to know where to go. When it doesn't make, you don't know what to do, you got to know where to go. Wonder how many times in my life that I was confused, but I knew if I could just get to the church, if I could just get to a prayer meeting, if I could just get around some brothers and some sisters that are praying and touching God, I know I'm going to be okay. God's going to speak to me in due season. When you're confused, get yourself in a red hot prayer meeting where the fire's falling and the Spirit's flowing. Get to the church where the fire of the Holy Ghost still burns and it's here perpetually. It's here daily. It's here all the time where the presence of God is. Get yourself to church where the Spirit of God is flowing freely in your life. Take a journey to Emmaus. Leave the things, the questions behind you. When your eyes can't see, when your spirit doesn't know and it's confused, that's not the time to try to figure it all out. It's the time to get in the Spirit. That's the time to find where that fire falls. It's time to dig in. I read your sign. When you want to take a journey, it's time to pray. It's time to fast. It's time to get into the Word of God. It's time to get the fire of God falling, because He is always there in the fire. He's always there in the flow. Sometimes before there's a Pentecost experience in your life, there must first be a journey that you must take to Emmaus. Sometimes before the answers are ever revealed to you in your life, there's first got to come a time where you show God, where you show yourself to say, even when I don't know, even when I can't feel, even when I can't see, I just know if I can get to where the fire falls. I just know if I can get to the church. Sometimes it ain't about calling pastor's wife and telling them to pray. Sometimes it's about getting in that place for yourself where the fire of the Holy Ghost falls in your life again. Sometimes we try to figure out how to do it on our own. And all God's saying is, if you could just make it to Emmaus, I've got your answers. If you could just make it to Emmaus, there's deliverance. If you can just make it to Emmaus, I'm going to be right there to bless your world. Sometimes before you get that deliverance, that Pentecost, there's got to be a journey to Emmaus first. They found the fire in the flow, and when the Holy Ghost fell, they all experienced the Holy Ghost in fire as the Spirit flowed in their lives. Emmaus wasn't just for the apostles, for the disciples. It was for everybody. 3,000 souls filled that day, 120 in upper room when the power of God fell in their lives. But real quickly, if the music wants to come, however that we do that around here, two men decided that I'm going to make it. Journey to Emmaus. It might allude to Peter being one of those, and I'll speak to that in just a moment. But it names one person, a man by the name of Cleopas. It talks about him being the one. It's the only time he's ever heard of in Scripture. It's the only time he's ever mentioned is in Luke chapter number 24. The name of Cleopas comes from also a compound of words, kleos, meaning to hail or to call, or literally to be called, and patar, which means father, rather literally or figuratively, or parent, father or parent. So Cleopas is a called father or a called parent, or what would be a better fit according to Scripture is, he is a father of the called. Before Peter ever stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the greatest message that's ever been preached to mankind. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Before that message was ever preached in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 38, there was a man by the name of Cleopas who took a journey to Emmaus, and he learned that Jesus lives. He came back and he brought that message to those men. Watch this. Cleopas became one of the first to declare the gospel. Before Peter ever preached Acts 2:38, Cleopas was one of the first to deliver the gospel. He delivered it to the apostles and disciples because he knew where to go when he knew nothing else. He got revelation from God because he knew where to go when he didn't know anything else in this life. Cleopas, this man who's never mentioned again in Scripture, was one of the first ones to get revelation, the first one to deliver this. Could Peter have been there, or was it Cleopas who spoke to Peter? Could he have been with them? He very well could have, because Scripture tells us that as they walked, he opened Scripture to them and he began to preach himself, Jesus, to them as they walked. What did Peter do in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 38? When he stood with the other 11 and they said, "What meaneth this?" He said, "They're not drunk like you suppose." What he's saying is they just got a hold. They just figured out that Jesus lives. But he preached Jesus out of the prophets and the Scriptures. Is it possible, Pastor, that Peter was one of those that was on that journey and Jesus began to give him the message to preach on Acts 2? In Acts 2 and 38, Jesus began to reveal him. Is it possible that Peter was simply repeating what he had either heard personally on a road to Emmaus, or maybe it was even just that he was repeating what Cleopas had told him before? Would you stand with me in the house of the Lord tonight? I wonder. I felt the battles. I can see the remains of battles in this beautiful, beautiful head of us. I can see the blood and the guts and the gore that are strewn throughout this place. The battles that no doubt Pastor Schumacher has fought on his knees. The tears that this precious woman of God has shed for the souls of this community, of this state, of this church. And I wonder, in this place, how many Cleopas are in this house of God tonight? How many Cleopas are here tonight that says, "When I don't know what to do, I just got to know where to go"? How many times have you come in here and fought battles that should have killed you, that should have wiped you out, that should have stole your life for living for God? But because when you didn't know what else to do, you understood, if I can get to the church, if I can get to the house of God, if I can let the fire fall on my life again, I'm going to find the answers that I need. How many Cleopas are in this house? There's somebody's waiting on you to get a hold of God so you can deliver a message to them. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Just get a hold of God and you're going to make it. Amen. How many ministries are in this house tonight? And really, what's going on is it's just God calling you, Cleopas, to a road. The pastor doesn't have to do it. The evangelist can't make the fire of God fall in this place. What it is somebody that you may have a blinded eye, but you got a burning heart that says, "I want more out of this life than what I've got. And I'm going to get a hold of God in this place." Cleopas, you're here. you're here. You may never stand on the day of Pentecost. You may never preach from behind a pulpit, but you may very well be the father of some that are called. And if you can get a hold of God, your children and your family and your friends may be the next preachers, the pastor of this church. They may be the next singers. They may be the best soul winners. They may be the next Sunday school teachers, but they're looking for Cleopas to get a hold. Quit waiting for Peter to show up. And get a Cleopas spirit in your life. Maybe you're here. You've been searching for something more out of your life because you're sick of where you are. I invite you to come with these others. Your answer's here at this altar, because the fire falls at the altar.